Rams for Ramsey.
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is currently the quarterback coach for the NFL's New Orleans Saints. It's his second go-around. His name is Joe Lombardi. He's had a distinguished career as a coach in the NFL. And if that last name sounds familiar, well, he's the grandson of the late, great Vince Lombardi. Joe, it's so great to have you on Blessed to Play.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about this long and distinguished career coaching. But first of all, this all started, I'm sure it started Pop Warner days when you were youth, but you played at the Air Force Academy. Tell us why you went to the Air Force Academy. And I know you played tight end there, but how you developed a passion for football.
Yeah, well, you know, one, the passion for football. I think growing up in a football family had a lot to do with that. You know, it was just always something that was always around. My dad worked in football, and so it was just kind of something that got in the blood early. And then played football through high school, and got recruited to a few different colleges, and took some recruiting trips. And the thought of serving in my country in the military was something that appealed to me. And you know, Air Force at the time was a pretty successful football program as well. So those kind of things all fit together, and decided to go to Air Force to you know, go to school and play football, and eventually serve in the Air Force.
What some people don't know is that you actually lettered a season in lacrosse, but you played for Fisher DeBerry in the WAC, and the very involved offense, if you say, with the option. Fun offense to be part of, I'm sure, Joe.
It was fun. You know, I was a tight end, which, depending on what kind of offense you're in, you might be more of a receiver. It's kind of a hybrid position between offensive line and receiver. And, you know, when you're in the wishbone system, you're definitely more of an offensive lineman. So I wasn't catching a lot of passes, but it was fun and we had some success.
All right, let's talk about your time. You served in active duty in the Air Force. The last 2 years, you juggled football, your Air Force schedule, and you're a volunteer coach at Dayton. So you started to get your feet wet now coaching the game of football. Was it while you were serving on active duty that you said, after this is over, I really want to hone in and get into coaching?
Well, certainly I thought it was there was a chance I would want to coach. Just as those first football seasons kind of rolled around, that I wasn't part of the team my first couple of years in the Air Force after graduation. Yeah, I just missed it so much. It was just something that had been such a big part of my life and kind of felt there was a void there. So I thought I'd, you know, as I was kind of in a white-collar type job in the Air Force, I was able to arrange my work schedule so during the football season I could come in real early and get my work done and make it to practice at the University of Dayton. And after a couple of years doing that, I realized that was really something that I wanted to pursue.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer today, chatting with Joe Lombardi. He's currently the quarterback coach for the NFL's New Orleans Saints. Well, Joe, with a name like Lombardi, doesn't mean that you're right going to get into the NFL and start coaching right away. You paid your dues. In fact, you coached, as you mentioned, at Dayton, VMI, Bucknell, even in the XFL for the New York, New Jersey Hitmen, and Mercyhurst College. So you had this resume that you were building up, learning the game, learning how to coach. I'm sure your college coaching experience prepared you for what you're doing today in the NFL.
Well, hopefully every year that you coach, you learn something, you get some experience that can help you down the road. So, you know, all those stops were good. I met a lot of good people, coached with a lot of good people, coached a lot of good players, and you're always looking for that break. At some point, I had three children and was coaching in a small college, not really making a lot of money, and thought, well, maybe I should go out and get a normal job that I can support my family a little bit better. And was lucky right when I was about to make that decision, I caught a break and caught on with the Atlanta Falcons in 2006. So just never know how it's going to work, but it worked out for me.
We'll talk about that break under head coach Jim Mora with the Atlanta Falcons. You were in a defensive assistant, and, you know, it's kind of contrary to what you're doing now, but actually that prepared you for now going to coaching in the NFL more in depth with the Saints, but you started off with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I was one of my good friends from college was actually on that staff and kind of helped me get an interview when they had a defensive assistant position opened, and was able to get the job. And really, you know, coaching offense ever since that year, I mean, that 1 year coaching defense was really invaluable. It gives you a lot of insight in how the other, you know, the other side that you're game planning against thinks. And so that was really a great year for me experience-wise now that I'm coaching on offense.
Well, your first go-around with the Saints in 2007, you come on as an offensive assistant in 2007, and you get to coach this guy named Drew Brees. And then in 2009, you go to a Super Bowl, Joe, so you came in at the right time. But talk about being offensive assistant, but also coaching one of the greatest quarterbacks of our time.
Yeah, my first 2 years here, I was an offensive assistant, which, you know, you're doing a lot of grunt work, breaking down film and those kinds of things. And then really right before our Super Bowl year, I got promoted to quarterback coach. And, you know, even when I was an offensive assistant, I was in the quarterback room. So it was, you know, it's really, you know, when you coach a player of his caliber, you certainly learn a lot more from him probably than he does from you. He's just such a professional and works so hard at it and is, you know, very smart and instinctive. And, you know, being around a guy like that, it's just, you know, it's invaluable experience for a coach.
Is that, I don't know if the right word is intimidating, but you, when you come on as a coach and you're here coaching a guy like Drew Brees, how do you, what type of dynamics go into that relationship knowing you're coaching one of the best?
Yeah, well, you definitely have to be on top of your game. I mean, you can't be unprepared or try to fake that you know something maybe you don't. I mean, he's seen it all, so you know, you definitely have to have everything in order when you go into that room. But you know, he's a good guy. We've been together for so long now, and you know, the head coach has been here for, you know, that same period of time, the offensive coordinator, and so it's really is a great relationship. I mean, everyone knows each other, knows how to work with each other, and it's been a great job. It's been fortunate because usually in this profession, you don't get to stick around in one place for as long as we've been sticking around here. And a lot of that's due to having a great quarterback, to be honest.
And during his time with the Saints, under Joe Lombardi, quarterback Drew Brees had numerous passing records, including passing for more than 5,000 yards five times, four times with Joe as the quarterback coach, and setting the record, now surpassed, for the most passing yards in a single season, over 5,400 yards in 2011. Blessed to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Joe Lombardi. He's currently the quarterback coach for the New Orleans Saints. Joe, let's talk about that great day in February of 2009 where the Saints defeated the Indianapolis Colts. And if I recall, there was a onside kick the second half that the Saints recovered. I want to know if you were part of that call, but it was great to have a victory in that Super Bowl.
Well, it's funny. Man, I can remember like it was yesterday because we were practicing the week before we headed out. You know, there was a 2 week break before the Super Bowl. And I remember special teams period, we're kind of the quarterbacks gather and go over the script for the next period. You know, we've got previewing what's happening next in practice. I kind of caught that, the onside kick that Thomas Morstead was practicing out of the corner of my eye. And it took a left turn and kind of came back towards the kicking team. I thought, it just struck me like, we're going to do that. Like, I just knew after watching it in practice. And, you know, we went in at halftime and coach kind of asked everyone's opinion about whether we should open up the second half with an onside kick. And everyone thought we should. And it was pretty exciting. It certainly changed momentum of that game.
Well, Joe, you left New Orleans and then you got a promotion of sorts to be the offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions, again, playing for a top-notch quarterback in Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate. I believe in 2014, the offense gained 5,400 total net yards, which is the eighth highest total in franchise history. But talk about the dynamics going from New Orleans Saints, a high-powered offense, to another high-powered offense in Detroit.
Yeah, it was, you know, I really enjoyed working with Matt, and we had a good year in 2014, made the playoffs. You know, 15 didn't work as well, and that's one reason why I'm back here in New Orleans. But some really good people there, and enjoyed my time in Detroit.
Well, talk about coaching. Like you mentioned, you know, it all depends on results, and if you have one not-so-great season, you move on. The coaching carousel of sorts, is that tough to deal with psychologically, or you just have to have a certain demeanor to kind of go with the flow?
Yeah, I think when you enter this profession, you realize it's, you know, one of the things that's bound to happen. Like I said, I feel fortunate that we've been able to spend as much time, our family, as we have here in New Orleans. It's a town that we've really grown to love. You know, my family considers it home, and man, I've spent 9 total seasons here, and that's unique. That doesn't happen a lot in this profession. And, so, you know, you're going to have your good years and your bad years, and luckily we've been able to string enough of them here where I really feel fortunate that I've had as much stability as I have in this profession, because there's a lot of guys that, you know, and, you know, they move from one job to the next, and it seems like every year they've got a new address, and that can get very stressful, you know, more so for the family, as your kids are trying to put down roots, and, you know, changing schools every year can certainly be tough on the kids. So yeah, it's something I certainly feel fortunate we've been able to carve out as much time as we've been able to here.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been coaching in the NFL a little over 10 years, and have you seen a difference in the makeup of the modern-day NFL player? I mean, there's more media, obviously, now, and they're more scrutinized, and, you know, when at the combine, every action is being measured. But is there a different makeup from when you first entered the NFL as a coach to what you're seeing now?
Well, I think the you know, like you mentioned, the social media and you know, there's a lot more attention paid to it maybe than there was 11 or 12 years ago. But you know, I wouldn't say I've noticed anything overwhelming. You know, maybe you notice. I think like anybody. I mean, I bet you if you ask players who played for my grandpa, the 12-year vet would look at the rookie and think, ah, these kids today. And I'm sure there's still a lot of that that goes on, but. You know, for the most part, you really do get hardworking, team-oriented guys in the NFL, because that's really what the sport demands. It's hard to, you know, there's a couple of guys that can get away with it, but for the most part, if you're a me-first kind of guy, this probably isn't the sport for you. So, and I've been fortunate to be on teams that have really put a, you know, high value on character, and man, the locker room that we have right now here in New Orleans is a great one, and there's really a lot of good players, but a lot of good guys in this team as well. So it's been, that makes it a lot more enjoyable.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, character, faith. It's an important part of the Lombardi name. We'll talk to Joe Lombardi about what makes him the best that he can be in his everyday life. Keep it right here. You're listening to Bless to Play.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Philip Rivers is the quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers, and his personal life is getting attention from the media. But the reason why may surprise you. Rivers and his wife Tiffany have 8 children, 6 girls and 2 boys. When asked in an interview, "Are you done?" his response was, "Heck no, I hope not." The interviewer then asked the question he's heard many times before, "Does your wife know you want to have more?" And Rivers' response was equally definitive, "Oh yeah, she's all in." This couple, like many others who take their faith seriously, know children are a gift from God. Of course, not all parents will feel called to have as many as Philip and Tiffany, but they can model the River's godly attitudes and hearts.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Joe Lombardi. He's currently the quarterback coach for the New Orleans Saints, and his name probably sounds familiar to everyone listening. He's the grandson of the late, great Vince Lombardi, who was a very faithful man. In fact, Vince considered going into the priesthood, but was a passionately Catholic person, and I'm sure passed that on to his children, and it got passed down a generation, Joe, right to you, because faith is important to you. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, it's important to me because I mean, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, and I believe when we die, you know, we get judged. So, knowing what's at stake, what's on the line, I mean, it'd be silly to be anything but to take it seriously. And I think that's well, you know, one of my favorite quotes is a C.S. Lewis quote that says, "Either what we believe is true and is of infinite value, or it's not true and it's of no value, but the only thing it can't be is of moderate value. And, you know, I think too often in our lives we do treat our faith as if it's moderately important, and clearly it's a lot more important than that.
Now, having heard you speak, I know your Catholic faith is of the utmost importance to you, and do you find that tough to live out in the secular world, in the world that you live, the glitz and glamour of the NFL, to be truly and authentically Catholic?
No, I don't think it's too challenging. I mean, I think most people would be surprised at, you know, there is a lot of men of faith in the football world. Now, the demographics are such, there's not a lot of Catholics, you know, certainly among the players, but there's a strong, you know, Christian presence on most teams. And, so it's, you know, and listen, the life of a football coach isn't all that glamorous. So, you know, there's not that pull that maybe you think of someone who's in Hollywood or anything. It's, you know, I got seven kids. I go to work, I go home and take care of my family. And, you know, so it's, I don't think it's any more challenging for me than it would be for anyone else anyway.
Well, let's talk about the effect that your grandfather had on you. And I don't think you knew your grandfather, but he wore his faith on his sleeve, but he wore his emotions on his sleeve. And one thing I like about reading about his life is that he was very real. He had a colorful language, but yet he was trying to persevere in his faith with all his flaws, and he left it right out there. But in some sense, that was a great witness, because it showed that you could be real and be troubled at times, but still have faith at the core.
Sure. I mean, he went to church every day, and, you know, he struggled with his temper. He struggled, you know, with just that fiery demeanor. Mm-hmm. And it was something that, you know, he felt he needed to have that frequent access to the sacraments to have any hope of being able to control some of those, you know, some of those parts of his personality that he fought against. And to whatever extent he was successful in controlling his temper and his anger, you know, he gave all the credit to going to Mass every day and receiving the Eucharist every day.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Joe Lombardi, currently the quarterback coach for the NFL's New Orleans Saints. Joe, I like to talk about how faith carries over into our everyday life, and I like to get a little bit pragmatic, but the modern-day athlete needs to be very disciplined. Do you see a difference in the guy, doesn't have to be Catholic, but who has a strong faith disposition, to the guy who doesn't, and their performance on the field?
You know, I don't. It's a good question. You know, I think that there's plenty of guys that aren't living, you know, a strong, faithful, you know, disciplined Christian faith or a disciplined faith of any type who do excellent in sports. So, you know, it certainly takes discipline to do well. But I do think there's a piece that comes with the guys that have a strong faith that doesn't always translate into success, but I think it translates into happiness and, you know, kind of just being able to accept what comes their way. And, you know, I think that guys who are professional athletes, it's such a big part of their lives that when they leave the sport, when they retire, there's a big hole. And I think it's, you know, certainly after retirement, it's a much bigger struggle for those guys who don't have a strong faith that they can fall back on.
Now, going back to your time spent in the Air Force, obviously there's a discipline there in a military life and having a faith life as well. Did the two kind of carry over or support one another during that time?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I would say that, you know, listen, I'm a cradle Catholic and never felt that I left the faith, but I would say when I was in college and high school, I probably didn't have an appreciation for what that meant. You know, like I said, I always considered myself Catholic and never thought I was falling away, but I wouldn't say I was a great observant Catholic. You know, I didn't pay attention to how often I was going to confession, all those things. So, you know, I think you can be very successful in life. You can be disciplined without having your faith in order. I mean, I've seen it. So, and, but I know that when I really learned what being a good Catholic meant and strove to do those things, my life became a lot more meaningful, a lot happier. And so I wouldn't say that they were really went hand in hand when I was at the Air Force Academy or in the Air Force. It was really, you know, right when I was getting married that, you know, my wife and I decided that, hey, we're going to have a family and let's find out really what being Catholic means. And, you know, the more we studied it, the more we realized how beautiful it was and how much we, you know, really believed in it. And, you know, that's kind of how our faith journey took its path.
Yeah, we're all on this journey, and it leads us to different, you know, it's strengthened at different parts in our life, lives, I should say. Your grandfather, Vince Lombardi, was extremely competitive, and obviously he won championships. And sometimes people of faith could be construed as being a little bit soft or maybe shying away from competition, but did your grandfather's example kind of give you the wherewithal to say, I could be competitive and also be faith-filled as well?
Certainly that did. And I think if you really study, you know, what I consider true Catholicism to be, it, you know, it should be a very kind of manly, you know, macho might be the wrong word, but, you know, one of my favorite stories, my grandfather, leading up to the second Super Bowl, which was his last year in Green Bay, you know, he was talking to the players about, hey, there's a lot of runners, but you got to run the race to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which was from one of the letters of St. Paul. And, you know, in the Super Bowl ring itself, it says on the second Super Bowl ring, run to win is written on that Super Bowl ring, which is, you know, an allusion to that. And so, yeah, I think some of those competitive qualities, that you build up when you're doing competitive sports, I mean, those are the same kind of qualities that discipline, that trying to do your best that, you know, we all need to bring to our faith, I think. You know, if you're soft, it's going to be hard to be the best, you know, Catholic that you can be because it takes work, it takes discipline in order to, you know, get up in the morning and say your prayers every morning and get your family off to church every Sunday. I mean, those aren't always easy things to do. And, you know, it takes discipline. So I never really felt that conflict between trying to be a, you know, a good Catholic and being competitive. They seem to go hand in hand for me.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer, once again joined by Joe Lombardi, currently coaching for the New Orleans Saints, had a lengthy career coaching in the NFL with the Saints, the Falcons, and the Detroit Lions. Now, Joe, I know family life is important to you, and you're raising God's little ones, if you will, and raising them in the faith and to develop virtue. That has to be, you're not giving a manual when you're a parent, but what is your philosophy of raising kids the right way?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is we do try to put our faith first and put doing the right thing first. So it's, yeah, I heard someone once ask a question, you know, hey, would you rather have your kids get all A's and maybe they had to cheat a little bit or all C's and they never cheated? And, you know, the right answer is get all C's and never cheat. And so those are the things that we try to highlight. I mean, I hope my kids get good grades. I hope they do well in sports. But, you know, the things that we really try to emphasize are, you know, to be good Catholics and, you know, to be good citizens. You know, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't cheat. And those things come first. And if, you know, you get all C's and, but you got them all honestly, then we're going to be a lot happier than if you got all A's and had to cheat a little bit. So it's, you know, it's a constant battle and you got to be very consistent as parents. You know, you can't just say these things once. You have to keep hitting on those messages every day. But, you know, we do really try to take our faith seriously and, you know, we make going to church a whole day affair where it's, we go to church and then we're going out to brunch with people from church and really try to make their, you know, their faith that something, it's not just a sometimes thing. It's an everyday thing. And it's something that's really, ingrained into every fiber of their life.
Yeah. Very well said. Well, let's get back to the football side here, Joe. You've been coaching for 10 seasons, and I know the Super Bowl has to be up there, but has there been a highlight or the highlight so far of your coaching career?
Well, certainly, you know, your goal is to win the Super Bowl, and so that was certainly one of the highlights. And, you know, all the other highlights, it seems like, you know, if you don't win the Super Bowl, it's always kind of leaves you with a little bit of a bad memory. So, I mean, our 2011 season, we were, you know, at the time anyway, we set all kinds of offensive records. I mean, we were just rolling and playing with such a confidence level that it was really one of the most fun years that we had coaching, although it ended with a very disappointing loss in the playoffs. So, you know, but yeah, that when I think of my favorite, you know, 2009, 2011, but you know, coaching is a funny thing, and it's one reason why I like it is there's not a whole lot of time to look back. You know, I'm hoping that 2018 is going to be the highlight, and you know, luckily right now we've got a lot of hope here because we've got a good roster, and if we can stay healthy, I think the Saints have a chance to make it a real special year.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Drew Brees at quarterback, anything is possible. Well, Joe Lombardi has been my guest. Quite a legacy in the Lombardi family, and Joe is etching a place for him certainly in the NFL, coaching for the last 10 years, and now with the New Orleans Saints and bringing his faith to the field as well. Joe, thanks so much for the time. I really do appreciate it, and for coming on Blessed to Play.
Great. Thanks, Ron.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can like us on Facebook and hit us up right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Joe Lombardi, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.